Now we see something. That which in our biblical tradition is interpreted as a historical event, which took place prehistorically in the Garden of Eden, is in the Oriental tradition interpreted psychologically, not as an event that occurred once somewhere else, but as a situation here, now, present in each one of us. I present this because this involves a basic thought with respect to mythological and religious symbols. Primarily, they do not refer to historical events. Primarily, they refer to what is ever and forever present in the human psyche as a potential, as a threat, as a possibility. These human potentials, which are present here now in all psychologically, are in the great traditions presented to the mind symbolically. And these symbols tend to be interpreted historically, concretely, as though they referred to something somewhere else at another time. Symbols, and here's the long and the short of it, are projections of the knowledge, the unconscious knowledge, the ever-present truth of the soul. They are, as it were, reflected through formal symbols. These symbols will be locally, socially determined, and they come back to the mind that way. When Shakespeare says, art holds the mirror up to nature, he is saying this. The artwork, the religious icon, the religious legend is an artwork holding the mirror up to your nature. And it's, as it were, an X-ray mirror that is showing you your inward nature, your permanent structure. Now, next. In the Middle Ages, the crucifix of Christ was called the tree of immortal life. It was equated with the second tree in the garden. That, in fact, was the great vision of St. Paul, that the cross was the answer to the tree. The first tree, the knowledge of good and evil, is transcended in the tree of the cross. Christ is the fruit of the second tree. And so he is, in Christian terms, precisely the equivalent to the Buddha seated under the tree. Christ also says, come in. He passed through, back into the garden, and there he is crucified, as we all are crucified. When we crucify our ego, forget it, let it go, and identify ourselves, not with the body of consciousness, but with the consciousness of which the body is the manifestation. It's simply a shift of accent. One looks up there, and there are all those lights. That is a special, I don't know what you call it, a fluorescent device. There's another one. When that breaks, we replace it with a new one. What is important is not the machine. What is important is the light. You can think of this as a number of elements, or you can think of it as one light showing through a number of elements. I look down here. Instead of seeing lights, I see people. Each one a vehicle of consciousness. What is important is not the body, but the degree of consciousness, the degree of light that is shining through the body. And if you identify yourself with consciousness, instead of with the body, which is the vehicle of consciousness, you have shifted the accent to that which is immortal in you. You are consciousness, and consciousness comes in all these beings. That's the shift of accent in this Buddhist and Oriental tradition. So now we have two quite different readings of the same symbols. The fall in the garden, the fall of what the Indians call Maya, the delusion that comes with our accent on what our senses see. The dispelling of the force of Maya with the recognition, I am that one consciousness. Christ said, I and the Father are one. He said, this mortal me and the immortal God are identical. We are that. I have experienced it. And now, be you like unto me,